If you have your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, we do have what we call pew Bibles. They're black in the pew areas. If that's not there, try to get near somebody. It's important that you follow along with Scripture. I think it backs up. I think sometimes you come to church and you think we just are making things up, and we try to follow Scripture. That is our foundation. It's what we base things off of. We're not just making things up. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to read three verses. Someone once said, when asked what a mother is, they said, mothers are teachers, mothers are disciplinarians, mothers are cleaning ladies. Some mothers are gardeners and mowers of lawns. Mothers are nurses and doctors and psychologists and counselors and chauffeurs and coaches. Mothers are developers of personalities, molders of vocabularies, and shapers of attitude. Mothers are soft voices saying, I love you. And mothers are a link to God, a child's first impression of God's love. Mothers are all of these and much, much more. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Here's verse 5. When I call to remembrance, notice what he called to remembrance, the unfeigned faith. That's a faith without hypocrisy. All right, it's a true faith. That's the unfeigned. That's what it means. It's a pure faith. So when I call in remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first, notice, in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Honor thy mother is the emphasis kind of this special day. And we paused, if you remember, 2 weeks ago we started a series on harmatiology, which is the doctrine of sin. And we thought that we might pause on this Mother's Day morning and not preach on the sin of mothers, which all of us would be hooting, hollering. It'd be the loudest service we'd ever been in, raising hands. But we thought we'd pause and honor our mothers. When we honor someone, we evaluate that person accurately and honestly. We treat him or her with respect, with reverence, kindness, and courtesy. So we want to look at some qualities of some godly mothers. So I entitled the message this morning, Characteristics of a Godly Mother. We're going to look at three positives, and then we're going to look at one negative at the end. May it be that as moms, may it be that you look at your life and say, so are there some things that I'm missing as far as some characteristics of a godly mother? Then maybe you can implement them. We'll look at the disobedient mother at the end. And it could be that as a mother this morning, you have discounted the importance of being a mom. Our society downplays mothers, downplays the importance of a wife, and then it wants us to respect them. It's double-minded, isn't it? It's because the Bible has been tossed out. I'm thankful for a godly mother, that her children were the most important thing in her life. Most important thing. Nothing more important. And mothers, biblically, that's your priority. Your children, your husband, and there's no knock about that. It is a godly thing. It is a God-honoring thing. And don't let the world push you down. Don't let the world convince you that it's not godly. Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning you'd help us as we consider just a couple of thoughts from Scripture, looking at some characteristics of a godly mother. Pray that you would give guidance through Scripture. And Lord, you know I need your sustaining grace. I need you to enable me Lord, to do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. Holy Spirit, do your work. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. 1914, a woman from West Virginia named Anna Jarvis spearheaded a campaign, and she got a hold of Woodrow Wilson. He was the president at that time. And so she spearheaded a campaign to set aside the second Sunday of May as a national day for recognizing mothers all over the world. She orchestrated a letter-writing campaign to Woodrow Wilson, lobbied influential politicians and clergymen, distributed brochures arguing about the importance of a national day to recognize mothers. Jarvis' cause came from admiration for her mother, Anna Maria, and others like her who had been an inspiration. But by the early 1920s, during Woodrow Wilson's time as president, it did happen. She was able to petition, and soon afterwards, President Wilson set aside the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. But by the early 1920s, Anna Jarvis was sickened by the commercial circus around the annual event. She felt that the day had nothing to do with celebrating the real achievement of women. She simply wanted a day to honor and remember mothers, but in her mind, it didn't turn out that way. It turned out that the one who was credited for giving us Mother's Day was the same woman who campaigned to have it removed from the calendar. The reason was, she said, it became commercialized. She believed the spirit of Mother's Day had been spoiled by the commercialization of cards and flowers and once-a-year sincerity. So she spent her latter days crashing floral company conventions to protest, urging card companies to give the money they made for Mother's Day to the poor. At one Mother's Day convention where flowers were being sold, she was arrested for disturbing the peace. She even launched a lawsuit to stop a Mother's Day festival from being held. In the end, believe it or not, Anna Jarvis lost the fight, because today we're still celebrating Mother's Day. She exhausted her financial resources and ruined her mental health in that fight. She died alone in 1948 in a mental asylum at the age of 84. Just before her death, Jarvis told a local reporter, "I devoted my entire life to Mother's Day, and the racketeers and grafters have taken it over." So, we're going to try to not commercialize Mother's Day this morning. We're going to try to go to the Bible, and if you can, turn to Proverbs chapter 31. This will be our first lesson in a godly mother. Proverbs 31, I call this the diligent mother. If you have the handout, that's the D, the diligent mother. It's described in Proverbs chapter 31. Notice in verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands." So I want to give you three ideas under the diligent mother that we see in this passage. First of all, notice she seeketh wool and flax. Look at verse 15. "She riseth also while it is yet night, giveth meat to her household. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hand. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms." The first thing we see about a diligent mother is she has a servant spirit. Her servant spirit extends to her family. She delights in serving them. She prepares meals diligently. And I would imagine that there's a lot of moms, and I thank the moms that are doing this today. It is amazing to me, the moms that we have here at our church. I would recommend some of our young couples who crab and complain, and you look and you criticize a lot of our older moms here. And I'm just saying internally, all right, not audibly. But I would recommend that you step alongside some of our older moms and learn some lessons about a servant spirit. Because we have some of our older moms, and this is what they did yesterday. A day set aside for them. They were down in the kitchen starting early in the morning, preparing a Mother's Day brunch. And you know why? Because you wouldn't want me cooking it. All right, it wouldn't be very enjoyable. And so we have moms that have a servant spirit, a day that is set aside for them. And what they decide is, what can honor God more than bringing people into church, letting them hear about Christ, and let's feed them lunch? It's godly mothers. Godly mothers. It's a servant spirit. It amazes me, and you can study different things as far as the makeup of men and women. All right, men and women, and I know there's some psychology behind it. I'm not big into psychology, but there's a different makeup between men and women, isn't there? As a man, I can go. All right, I can get at it, be pretty intense, but then after a little bit, we have strength. All right, that's manhood. Men, we have strength. We have raw power. We have muscles. All right. We like using those. But man, my muscles wear out. And I got to have rest. I got to have food. I've got to have nourishment. But I can remember when my kids were small that I'd be down at work and then I'd come home and my wife had some work to do, maybe at the office, but she was home a lot. And she was dealing with this with the kids and dealing with this. And then she has a pot going here. She has laundry going over here. And she's doing this or this. And I come home and I'm like, hey, can you mow the grass too? And what amazed me is how my wife could just keep going and going and going. Now, not with that raw power that man has, okay, but just that consistency. Just add it and add it and add it. It's that servant spirit and a godly mom, a diligent mom. Notice also, not just a servant spirit, she has a working spirit. Notice in verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night. Verse 16, she planteth a vineyard. Look at verse 18, her candle goeth out, not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. What do we mean by a working spirit? A godly mother is not lazy. She's rising a great while before daylight to provide for the needs of her family. She's working to provide the meals, and she's working to do all these things. And you know what? That's what a godly mother does. She cares for her children. She cares for her husband. And husbands, make sure you notice it. All right, children, make sure you pause and you're saying, hey, mom, thanks for cooking dinner. All right, thanks for taking your time. Have you ever tried to do it yourself? Yeah, I know. I got skills at ramen noodles. All right, unbelievable skills at ramen noodles. But that's about it. All right, yeah, I can fire up a grill. All right, but even the patties have to be made for me. All right, because, oh, man, what do you do with this? All right, a working spirit. A godly mother has a working spirit. Then you'll notice also she has a wise spirit. In verse 16, she considereth the field, knoweth what she does. She buyeth it. Wow. She's wise and caring for other. Look at verse 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. It sounds like she's pretty wise, pretty thrifty. She's able to take a little bit and make a lot out of it. Sometimes that amazes me. I call her super mom. All right. I have super mom. She can put on her cape and do a lot of different things. And sometimes I'm like, hey, you know, we don't have much. And she's like, oh, I just threw this together. And it's a feast. And you know what, men and sons and daughters, maybe pause and thank God for a mom that is willing to put up with us. Put up with sometimes our ungratefulness. Put up with our shenanigans, as we'd call it. That's a diligent mother. Notice, lastly, there was four actually. The fourth one is a selfless spirit. Look at verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Look at verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. We should honor a diligent mother. Let's look at secondly in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, here's another mother. It's a Christ-honoring mother. Christ-honoring mother. Look at verse 46. So if you know a little bit about this passage, this is where Elizabeth was going to have John the Baptist. And then Mary came and she was with child. And so they're talking together, and this is Mary's prayer after being with Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the lowest state of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Now the Catholics have taken this and twisted it and said that Mary, being the mother of God, should be worshipped. Notice what Mary did. Mary didn't call worship on herself. Hey, yeah, all right, so we're gonna call Mary blessed. And why is she blessed? She's blessed because she was used by God to bear Jesus, who is gonna take away the sins of the world. Man, that's an honor. But notice what Mary does. And a Christ-honoring mother, first of all, godly mothers trust in Christ themselves for salvation. Do you see what she says? My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, what? My Savior. Mary needed Jesus. She was a sinner. She was on her way to hell. She was condemned, but Jesus, she was bearing Jesus, and she herself could be saved. And mother here today, one of the greatest gifts you can give your children, if you're not saved here this morning, is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Christ can save your soul. It'll change your eternal destiny. It'll also give you help in your home. Right now, maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you're frustrated with your home. You're frustrated with your husband. Maybe you're frustrated with your children. And you say, how in the world am I supposed to do this? And you're helpless. With Christ in your home, as your Lord and Savior, all of a sudden, see, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell with us. And the Bible says in John 14, 15, and 16 that he will guide us into all truth. You can have that help. You can have that help. And so godly mothers, first of all, trust in Christ as their Savior. But then notice in verse 48, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. What is that talking about? Children, right? Generation to generation. So a Christ-honoring mother, this is what you do. You trust in Christ yourself for salvation. But notice, secondly, godly mothers point their children to Jesus Christ. We have a bus ministry. We run about 22 buses. It struggles. All right, in the last about 2 to 3 years, the last year, it struggled a lot. All right, COVID ridiculousness. All right, basically the only place in America that you could catch COVID was at church. Think about that. Believe it or not, that's what they were saying. There's places that are spreading that fact. I believe I just read an article that China, the government of China is saying that. They are posting that, saying that churches are spreaders. Think about that. It's purposeful. It's purposeful. Purposeful. Yet you can go to Walmart, Menards, and as I'm saying, you've sat in, I've looked at some of those Walmart and Menards work. I'm sorry if you work there. All right. Maybe you bathe frequently. All right. But some of the guys I've seen, I'm like, don't touch my stuff. All right. Do not touch it. All right. As I've said, I've gone through Dunkin' Donuts and I'm like, I'm glad you got gloves on. I do not breathe on my coffee. But church, I'm telling you, oh, super spreader. Moms, one of the greatest things you can do is get your children to church. That is Christ honoring. You notice what Mary did? She said, I want Christ as my Savior, and I want from generation to generation to know that Christ can be your Savior. Moms, point your children to Christ. Notice thirdly, it was our text passage in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Makes me feel not bad for grandma now. All right, Grandma Lois and Mom Eunice. You know, I used to think that my grandma and grandpa had odd names. All right. Not anymore. All right, I don't know how many of you have Grandma Mom Eunice or Grandma Eunice. I don't know, it's just kind of an odd name. So my grandma was Wilma. All right, Wilma, and my grandpa was Aubrey. All right. But we just call him, and it was weird. I have no idea. You know how you have weird names? Grandmama. I don't know how we came up with that. Maybe like we were stuttering. We're like, blah, 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 blah. All right. So it's, that's what I always call her, Grandmama, Mama. And I can't remember what we called Grandpa. I think we might have just said Granddaddy or Grandpa, blah, 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 blah. All right. But here we have a faith-filled mother. Notice in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. So that's a pure faith and unhypocritical. There's no facade that is in thee. So this is Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and then in thy mother Eunice. So what we see as far as this characteristic is we're seeing three different. We saw a diligent mother. We saw a Christ-honoring mother, and now we see faith-filled mothers. These are all characteristics that, moms, I would challenge you to implement into your life. To instill these things. Be diligent. Be a servant. Be selfless. All right? Be a worker. Be Christ-honoring. Trust Christ yourself, and then point your children to Christ. But then be a faith-filled mother. Now, what does that mean to be faith-filled? A faith-filled mother lives it. Lives it. It is her daily life. Don't just be a Sunday go to meeting Christian, moms. I'm so glad, and I know this, growing up and even now, I know that my mom's Bible will be open and she'll be reading it. My children know that their mother is in God's Word and she loves it. And she lives it not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. Moms, have your life faith-filled, and that means you live it. Here, consider these two verses. They're sad. 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 52 says this, "And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father," listen to this, "and in the way of his mother." 2 Chronicles 22:3, "He also walked in the way of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly." That's in the Bible. Moms, you will answer to God if you're saved and you do not push your children to follow your faith. It is your duty, biblically, to be strong in the Word, to live the Word, to have faith in the Word. Trust God. Because guess what? We have books written to 1st and 2nd Timothy. Timothy, we look at him as a model of a preacher, a model of a man that was called of God. And guess who helped him? A grandmother and a mother. It says nothing about his dad. Most believe that his dad may have never been saved. All right, he may have been a Greek. That's what it seems to indicate, but he may not have been saved. So don't discount, Mom. You say, "Well, I can't do it. My home, it's just me." Lois and Eunice, live your faith. Live your faith. You can impact your children if you live your faith. Secondly, teach your faith. Many years ago, a magazine called Sunshine Magazine said this, "Experts have yet to find a system of raising children that will beat affectionate discipline." Proverbs 1:8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." Proverbs 23 verse 22 says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee and despise not thy mother when she is old." Mothers, learn the Bible, read the Bible, study the Bible, and then teach it to your children. This is what I can guarantee you. If you teach them, the Word of God promises it will not return void. It won't. You say, "Oh, they're 20 years old and they don't seem to love God's Word." What are you looking at? Sounds like you're doubting God's promise. Doesn't it? Don't doubt it. Who's the author of doubt? Who? Satan. Get thee behind me. Suit up and get the shield of faith. When the devil comes and whispers to you, "It's not worth it," quit on the Word of God. Pull up the shield of faith and stop the fiery darts of the devil. That promise is yours. Cling to God's promises. Claim those promises. And when fear grips their heart, remember that fear is the snare of the devil. It's the snare of man, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Claim God's word. Lastly, go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. This will be our last one. So we had three positives and now we have our negatives. So we have a diligent mother. That's Proverbs 31. We have a Christ-honoring mother. That's Luke chapter 1. We have a faith-filled mother and grandmother. That's Lois and Eunice and 2 Timothy chapter 1. And now in Genesis chapter 3, we have a disobedient mother. A disobedient mother. Notice what happened here. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And notice, "And he said unto the woman," yea, remember what I just said about fear, the causer of doubt? I have Bible to back it up. The devil will always come and want you to doubt the promises of God. "Yea, hath God said," look at, he's keeping something from you. And notice, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the trees of the garden, but of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat. Ye shall not surely die. Moms, the world, the devil, will make you dissatisfied with being a mom. They'll say there's something else. There's a career. There's something more important. And he'll whisper to you and say, yeah, you'll not really regret it. Hey, it's not really that bad. Do not let the devil diminish your role as a mother. Scripture is where we get our guidance. Mothers are a blessing. Mothers, godly mothers, binding together in prayer, honoring Christ with what you say and what you do, filling your life with faith, and that means faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't have faith, mothers, without being in God's Word. So you're in God's Word, you're in prayer, and the devil says, it's so dissatisfying. There's more out there. Don't let the devil lead you into disobedience. It's second best. Don't choose that. Found a poem, and it's talking about not necessarily being a mother, but the application, I believe, is very fitting. Listen to it. The Lord spoke to my heart one day saying, child, you need to pray. There's special work for you to do. Fields are white and laborers are few. At first, I did not heed the call. The work to me looked very small. So God gave another man my work and blessed him in the task I shirked. I saw the thing that God had done, the gracious souls another had won. So penitent, I went to him and pled forgiveness of my sin. He hearkened to my pleading voice, but gave to me his second choice. And now his will I do obey, but oft remember yesterday. Moms, I beg of you, your role as a mother is not secondary. It's not small. It's not insignificant. It is very, very vital for the salvation of children in our homes and in our churches. Don't discount it. May we understand biblically the characteristics of a godly mother.